I love it. It's probably good. This is an interview with Bob Barnes, conducted by Jordan Johnson and Joseph Tran. The date today is May 31st, and it is 7 o'clock in the evening. And here we go.
Can you tell me what the general outline of your life leading up to the 1950s, where you were born, where you lived?
I'm a fifth generation Oregonian, born in Salem. Went to school there. I understand this was about the Korean War in 1950 to 53. That exactly coincided with my high school years. That's entered high school in 50 and graduated in 53.
What was your general situation in 1950 to 53 with school, family, and work?
I worked in canneries, taught accordion, was in the National Honor Society, the National Athletic Honor Society. Played football, you know, that kind of stuff.
In general, what was the Hillsborough community like in the 50s?
I was not in Hillsborough in the 50s.
Or in the...
But it was essentially a farm community with a small central downtown core area. And as it is now, it was the county seat. So it was the seat of county government.
What was one event that stands out in your mind about the early 50s, if any?
Well, the Korean War had to be as significant an event worldwide as anything. There were other things that happened to you personally through your life, but that was the big thing in those days. That was a full-fledged ongoing war. We were in a war. We were. And we weren't ready. All our army that we had in World War II was pretty well gone in 1950. We didn't have much of a standing army or Navy or an Air Force. And so when the Koreans came barging across the 38th parallel, we didn't have a thing to stand up to them, neither did the South Koreans. So it was a mess. We were over there with a small contingent, but they were no match for that army that hit them. What did we lose, 58,000 men in that war?
I think it was.
That's a lot of men, plus all the injured.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up on the internet, and I think 103,000 men were injured, so that's quite a few.
What was your attitude toward the government during those days?
Well, President Truman was president when we got into the war, and I'd always had a high opinion of him even as a youth. I was in the 8th grade when he was elected, as I recall, and I was very much in favor of his election. And I think probably history has borne that out. I think probably history has been pretty kind to President Truman, and I think rightfully so. President Eisenhower took over and was in office when the war was ended, which I think was one of the things that he ran when he wanted to get that, thing stopped. It wasn't politically disastrous as Vietnam was, but it was enough.
So how did you feel about the war? Did you feel it was a just war that we should be over there?
Well, we had treaties with South Korea, and of course the communist threat was very real, and I think as you look back on it, it was a real threat. And we divided up a number of countries into communist and non-communist sections. And particularly looking back on it, I think that Joseph Stalin was essentially behind that war. And I suppose those that were close to it knew that at the time. We had men in there, and they were being attacked. I don't know what you're going to do. You've only got two things to do. You can turn tail and run, or you can stand and fight. You know, you got to do one of the two. Americans don't turn tail and run very well. When you talk through history about the real warriors, you can talk about all the warriors that came from Asia and all the places you had where there have been really, really successful armies. But probably, if you look at it, probably there's no army as fierce and furious as the American forces were in World War II. They were tough. And when that bunch of Marines got surrounded up there in the Chosin Reservoir, along the Alu River in northern Korea, they were surrounded by, what, 7 divisions or 15 divisions, some huge number of Chinese, and they chewed them up getting out of there. I think the Chinese came out of that engagement thinking they didn't want to fight Americans on open battle anymore, because they lost 7 divisions, I think, in that fight to a very small number of Marines and a lot of air power. So Americans are tough soldiers. And so when you make the choice, do we stay and fight or do we run? Americans, most of the time, are going to stay. We'll stay. They're prone to do that. The Japanese called us barbarians. The Germans got to where they were kind of afraid of our men too, I think, before it was all over. They were fierce fighters.
Were there any positive aspects of the Cold War or the Korean War?
Oh, the Korean War? Well, you look at South Korea these days, and it's turned into a reasonably viable republic. They've had their political problems, and they've elected political leaders that have been really questionable at times, too. But by and large, they're as free as a lot of countries are, particularly Asian countries. And, you know, the communists didn't come down and take them over, which they'd been ever so happy to do, that they had the chance. Communist Korea since then has proven to be a pretty bloodthirsty lot. Not a whole lot of scruples going on up there, as nearly as I can tell, if you can believe what you hear in the news. That war probably saved a whole nation from domination. Probably did. You know, you get Korean kids over here too, like you did Vietnamese kids. And you talk to them about their education system, and they're almost as passionate about education as Vietnamese kids are. You know, if you try to get into Seoul National University, SNU, you'd better be ready to study. That's a very competitive getting into that university. I think probably we saved a lot of folks.
That's good that we went over there.
Well, I don't know that you can ever call war good. Those of us that have not been in it, I don't think we have any realization of how nasty it is. People come back for that, come back with the most awful emotional scars. They don't want to talk about it. The guys that have been there don't want to talk about it. The guys that are talking about it probably weren't really there. I have not seen a thing about Private Ryan, but I understand it's pretty graphic. And from listening to some veterans talk about that, that's probably pretty much the way it was. It's really a hellish experience, I think. So I don't know that you can call war good. I don't see how you can, but. There are some outcomes, I think, from up there that are probably positive in the end. with all the negative outcomes that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to think really a long time before sending all your young men to war. It's tough, isn't it? Our own Civil War lost the best and brightest men we had, the whole country.
Mm.
If you've read some Civil War history along with this other stuff, we lost a lot of great men in that war.
Mm.
So you lose the best people you got. Because they're the ones that always take it seriously and try to do their best.
Hmm.
And they put themselves in harm's way before other people. They don't dodge responsibilities, the good ones.
Huh.
I don't know. Yeah. War loses the best guys you got.
Hmm. Would you have made the decision to go to war, do you think?
Oh, gee, I never thought about it. I mean, I never had that kind of responsibility. But,
huh.
And I don't know very much about politics.
Mm-hmm.
I know very little about politics. But, you know, with the intelligence community being as up and running as it was, I suspect that those that made the decisions, which ultimately came down to the president, I suppose, and the UN, had a lot of information on hand. And probably, you know, they probably weighed that information and hope they made a wise decision when they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they agonized over it. Any man would. Anybody would, unless you're like Hitler or somebody that doesn't care about people. And Stalin. Stalin didn't care about his own people. He executed 20 million of his own people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was afraid of a coup, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's hard to make something good out of a war.
Mm-hmm.
But then, if you get backed into a corner, you think, well, what am I going to do? Certainly the American soldiers thought that what they were doing was the right thing in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they thought that in Vietnam. I'm sure a bunch of them wondered or didn't think that. And I think they wondered in Korea.
Hmm.
Because, you know, this was the early years of the UN. They kept calling it a police action. And we kept seeing all these body bags come back. And said, this is a police action. What do you get in a real war?
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
Hmm. Tough call to make.
Yeah, really a tough call. So, you know, what are you going to do? Your leaders make a decision, you go with it. And American soldiers have done that too. I remember the scripture of one man and said how cheerfully they went through their deaths.
Hmm.
The guys hit the Normandy beaches, a lot of them were singing, glory, glory, what a hell of a way to die.
Hmm.
You know, how do you beat an army like that? The Germans certainly didn't figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were dedicated and they were determined.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
Do you remember any protest movements or anything around here in that time?
For the Korean War?
Yeah.
No, there was a lot of grumbling. But no, not particularly. You see, we had just come out of a war 5 years before. That was a war of survival, and everybody was pulling together. Nobody thought that we should be doing anything but being in the middle of that World War II once they hit Pearl Harbor. I mean, the whole country was together. We did without all kinds of stuff.
You know,
there was a lot of food and transportation items that we couldn't get because it all went to the war effort. Everybody knew that's the way it had to be. And so 5 years down the road, that mentality kind of tended to endure, I think. By the next decade, when Vietnam came along, and a new generation of kids and the LSD and all that kind of stuff came along, feelings changed considerably.
Mm-hmm. Not going through the World War II.
Yeah, they hadn't been through that. They hadn't seen the how the country was unified behind that whole war effort. It was really, the whole country was together. Whereas in Vietnam, the country was terribly divided over. And I probably should have, whether or not we should have been in the middle of that, I don't know. I think we're probably a little slow to get in the middle of civil wars anymore, but you still have the communist thing. The communist thing, the Cold War thing that you're talking about, which I suppose went from about 45 to whenever.
Like
Soviet,
90, about?
When did the Soviet Union break up?
It's like 90, 89.
That meant 10 years ago they broke up?
I think about 10 years ago. Okay.
Well, if that's the case, then from 45 to 90, you're looking at 45 years of Cold War. And you're looking at thermonuclear weapons. Clearly, if that thing had gotten out of hand, if we'd gotten into a thermonuclear war, there wouldn't have been anybody left.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been all over for civilization and the world. I mean, this place would have been decimated. Mm-hmm. They started loosening those ICBMs, and everybody knew it. And a lot of people didn't know how to deal with it. It really bothered them. They couldn't live under that kind of threat. Do the missile crisis in what, 62?
Was that I think it was, yeah.
Geez, when we went through that, we listened to it out of the radio. Which was, we could be in war by tomorrow night. But, we were back in Columbus going to school at Ohio State. And I guess I'll just keep going to class, see what happens. Nothing happened, so we kept going. But that could have been a mess.
You think the Cold War was a. Or do you think there was a real threat of nuclear attack?
Oh, sure.
During, like, the Korean War?
No, because we're the only one that had any significant nuclear capability in the Korean War. Chose not to use it, of course. We even had atomic cannons, I think. Didn't elect to use it. Which was, once again, a decision you got to make. And I think probably it was a wise decision. Man, once you open that door, and that door's going to be open someday. Those things are too easy to make. Some terrorist is going to find one of those suckers somewhere one of these days. You know they are. Someday, sometime like Atlanta is going to go up in a smoke with some terrorist, probably from the Middle East. They seem crazier than most of them. I'm more afraid of that kind of stuff now than I was back then, because too many people could make it. I mean, making a fissionable bomb doesn't seem to be beyond a lot of folks' ability anymore. They want to find out how to do it. Thanks to the Russians, I think, by and large.
Were people actually arrested for being communists? Or
oh, sure. A lot of prominent people were. Well, a lot of prominent people had originally been members of the Communist Party. They saw it as a viable alternative to some of the political parties we had here. But as time went on, and it became clear how much world domination was a part of their scheme, and military intervention. Most of those folks pulled out, but it was later found out they were, and so they often had some problems on the war.
So did you live around here during the Korean War? Did you know anybody? That mean, did you know anybody that was arrested for being communist, or?
No. This part of the country, pretty conservative.
Pretty
conservative area, and so the problem is, where we saw it at any rate was by a lot of it was in the entertainment industry. A lot of big time entertainers had been members of the party, and most of them had gotten out, but a lot of them got caught up in that. So some prominent folks got in a hassle over that one. And that was unfortunate, because probably when they were members, They probably didn't realize where all this was going to come to. They probably didn't know what the Russian leadership was like or what it was going to be like. I don't know if it was generally known how Russia was going to turn out after the war. We could look at Lenin and see that things were real swell over there. But I don't know that anybody envisioned that they'd become such a power as they did. You know, they went from peasant revolt in 1917 to a world power.
Mm-hmm.
After when all of them they have their thermonuclear bomb in the early 50s.
49, yeah.
I mean the thermal, not just the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb.
Hmm.
Early 50s, I think, sometimes. So you're talking in less than what, 40 years, less than 40 years. They went from just a dirt poor peasant revolution to one of the world's top two military powers. Nobody could have guessed that, I don't think.
Hmm.
And civilian defense efforts in this area, do you remember?
Well, a lot of people, of course, dug bomb shelters and kept food supplies and that kind of thing.
Hmm.
But that kind of dwindled out. I don't know that it ever got to be as much. We used to have civil defense drills in schools, like you'd have a fire drill.
Hmm. Now, what would you do for those?
Well, that depended on where you were, but to crawl under a table and stay away from the windows kind of a drill. Like you would with an earthquake.
Yeah. Hmm.
That kind of stuff. Get in off the playground, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Hmm. Do you recall any patriotic observations from that time, like holidays, or I mean, were they pretty patriotic, like Fourth of July and
intensely patriotic? But during World War II or
like
the Korean War?
More specifically, the Korean War.
I don't remember it being as intense as they were in World War II, which, well, like I said, was only 5 years prior to that.
Hmm.
No, I don't remember anything from a quick memory. It's not too sharp anymore.
Hmm.
Even my Alzheimer's.
Hmm.
But, I think probably they were a lot more restrained. Yeah. But everybody was tuned into the Korean War. So they had some really, really big battles where they were going up and down that peninsula.
Hmm.
And in the early stages, we got pushed down into a little area called Pusan, the southeast coast, the Pusan Korea. If they had pushed us off of there, they'd have killed them all.
Hmm.
But they didn't get it down. So about that time, then MacArthur took a bunch and landed up on the west side and got behind him.
Yeah, sure.
And chased him clear up to the Alu. And then the Chinese came across and came on back, and so it was, it was a pretty compelling scene what was going on over there. It was big time military action.
Hmm.
Man, get himself hurt over there. What's that medical show that?
MASH.
MASH. Yeah. MASH.
Yeah.
Spun off of that war. And it's continued to be pretty popular, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they've stopped filming it, but I guess they're still showing it all the time. I'm a TV illiterate, but it seems like they're doing that.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm.
Did you take any loyalty oaths?
Have I?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever asked
me
to.
Did they make you take any loyalty oaths at school or anything?
No, I was a teacher.
Oh.
Oh, I'd have been happy to do it.
Hmm.
I would have never backed down from that. Hmm. No, I was a World War II kid. And, that would have just seemed as natural to me as anything.
Hmm.
My thoughts on people that commit treason against the United States, I think by law, are subject to some pretty severe penalties, including the death penalty. And I don't have any problem with that. I love my country and I love the people that sacrificed it. For me, and I live a cush life here. I live an easy life. I have all kinds of freedoms that nobody else in the world has. I've got all kinds of material goods. I can worship as I please. That's all due to those guys who went out there and got themselves shot up. They did that. And if they hadn't done it, I wouldn't have this. And so when somebody commits treason against this country, or if they even desecrate the flag, they're desecrating the memory of those people that did that to me. And so, yeah, I'd have taken them away. You bet. I never batted an eye.
What did communism mean to you, do you think, back then?
Well, communism was like a lot of other isms. It was an attempt by some people to gain power and to gain control over other people who didn't want to be controlled by. And they really didn't care much how they did it. They were looking for control. You know, people like that, unscrupulous people, were looking for two things, power and money. Not necessarily in that order. And, you know, Hitler and Stalin were just two of a kind. They've been happy to do anything to put themselves in power and take over everything. You know, and the world's been full of people like that. Still, and there's still plenty of people who do this. That's bad business. I don't know how you deal with people like that other than militarily. What do you do?
So did you feel that it was right to deport people and arrest them for being communists, for having those views? I mean, taking into account that our nation was founded on freedom of speech and freedom to believe what you want, do you feel that's... I don't know myself.
I'm not sure. You mean deportation to where? To Russia? Is that what
you're saying? I think some went to Russia and...
I wasn't aware of a whole lot of deportation going on here. I was aware of a lot of legal hassles going on in people's lives. I didn't know and sometimes, like the Rosenbergs, they got executed.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of a whole lot of deportations. Certainly, I don't think it was on the order of people during the Vietnam War that took off for Canada, wherever else they took off for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I don't have anything to. I don't have any knowledge of these deportation things. I'm ignorant on that one.
Were you aware of Senator Joseph McCarthy's, what he did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez.
What did you think of that?
Well, it was really unfortunate. And I don't know exactly what motivated him. But he clearly went beyond the bounds of good sense, good reason, all those kinds of things. There were a lot of communists, sympathizers, I suppose, in government, but he seemed to kind of make a career out of it. It just seemed to be an obsession for him. And in the end, it brought him down. He was brought to a halt, probably in just a very short amount of time. Who was that guy that, in one of those hearings, was some legislator? That really brought him up short and made people stop and think about what he was doing, and after that he sort of lost it.
I remember something about that.
His influence.
I don't remember who it was, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Sometimes you get to be such a zealot that you can't see anything else, and you lose track of reason and good sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just overwhelmed you.
Did you feel communism was a real threat to the world?
I did then, and I look back on it, I don't see any reason to change. I think they were genuine, very much so. Where we got in trouble sometimes was that we didn't realize, I think, like in places like Vietnam, we didn't realize how flimsy the connections were between these people that were so-called communist North Vietnam, how loose the connections were between them and the center of communist power in Moscow. Mm-hmm. You know, as you look at Ho Chi Minh and some of these guys, I don't think they cared 2 cents about what Stalin was doing or about what all, you know, his successors were doing. They just wanted to... I suspect they were communists in some of their leanings because some of them were really intellectuals. They were university trained, some of them in our country, I suppose. These Vietnamese. Vietnamese were great on education. And when we got in the middle of that thing, I think we thought that they were just right in there, really closely connected with all the other communist powers in China and Russia. And I'm not so sure that was true anymore. Hmm. I don't see that they, in the first place, the Vietnamese and the Chinese have been mortal enemies for centuries. Mm-hmm. And they've never liked each other. And I'm not sure that the Chinese cared much about the Russians either. Hmm. Yeah. You know, because they've had a lot of wrestles up there along that border. They've shot each other up a lot. Hmm. They don't always tell us about it, but they yeah. But to get back to your question about now, what was the question again?
Do you think it was a real threat?
Yeah, I think communism was a real threat. I think how we dealt with that threat, we didn't deal with it very well sometimes. And a lot of that probably was we didn't always know what we were doing. We didn't understand Asiatics. We don't to this day understand Asiatics. Hmm. We don't. You know, the Asian over there doesn't think the way the Caucasian does over here.
Different mindset.
Yeah. And we could never understand the Japanese and their samurai outlook. Mm-hmm. Samurai is a guy that gives just total service, and he's happy to die. We could not understand the kamikaze thing. We could not understand the Japanese going into China and just doing these terrible atrocities to people there, doing the terrible atrocities to our soldiers that they caught in the Philippines. The samurai tradition was one of those things that caused all of that, and we didn't understand that for beans. Hmm. And these people that committed all these atrocities were looking at us and calling us barbarians, and we couldn't figure it out. Hmm. That's a different set of cultures over there, different set of ways of looking at things. Mm-hmm. So we didn't deal with the communist threat very well.
Hmm. Were you afraid of a nuclear attack here?
Oh, I knew it could happen. Sure. Yeah. They had too many delivery systems. Still do. Hmm. But now, of course, the delivery system can be a U-Haul truck. Hmm. You know, all you gotta do is, that thing down there in Oklahoma City taught us what can happen. But those guys have known how to put together one of those things instead of having to use a potassium nitrate. They would have put together a nuclear device if they'd known how. Hmm. I mean, because those two guys, where are they from? Kansas? Somewhere. Huh. A strange place for a terrorist to come from. You know, we're Oklahoma, either one. Hmm. But those are the guys who are going to get us one of these days, I suppose. They're going to poison the water supply. They're going to put a big device in somewhere. They're going to do something nasty. They're going to find some strain of a virus or something out there that's really lethal to people and give it more, well, do something. There's some folks out there that are really crazy.
Were you aware of any civilian defense efforts in the area?
Well, yeah, you know, we had sirens sitting on top of buildings and all that. Civil defense never really got off the ground much. Hmm.
Because we were reading old copies of the Argus, and there was a Sky Tower watch, Sky Watch thing, on top of some high school football field.
Well, see, that's kind of carried over from World War II, you know. Looking out for airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Japanese made a couple of runs at our coast here with one thing or another, with balloons and submarines come up, lobbing a shell in on the coast or something. So. But when Pearl Harbor was attacked, our Navy was done for. It was at the bottom of Pearl Harbor over there. And everybody looked around and said, let's keep those Japanese from coming right up the Columbia River? And the answer was, not very much. Except their own inability to get over here. Geez, we couldn't have stopped them.
Do you know anyone who fought in the Korean War?
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, at the end of that war, I went to college for a year. And a lot of those guys came back and were going to college from the Veterans Administration benefits, having served in the war. So we knew a lot of them. Some of them were pretty beat up. Lots of guys running around on artificial legs, artificial arms, all that kind of stuff. Really got hit some of them.
So did you see any impact of the Korean War on your local community? Was there a big impact? Or?
Well, no. Life kind of carries on, you know. I was into a bunch of court records in a little town in eastern Tennessee, and I kind of knew how the war was going in there in the Civil War. And I said, you know, those court records will surely come to an end when the Union Army sweeps through there. Well, the Union Army swept through there, and the court kept going on. So if you're going to do that when you're occupied, you're going to do that. You know, things are going to keep going on. Life is going to go on. If you're not occupied, even more so. If the war's halfway around the world, like what it was in Korea. So no, you didn't see the news. You see very much local impact other than the troops coming and going. Some of them not coming back.
So why were we fighting in Korea, in your opinion? What do you think?
Oh, because we got attacked. We were in there as a kind of a protectorate. We had units in there. We divided that thing up along the 38th parallel between us and the communists. And they took the north, and we took the south, and they figured they wanted the south too. And we kind of figured that if we kept some guys there, maybe that slowed that thing down. Ultimately, it didn't. So yeah. We were looking at each other across a lot of lines. In Germany, one of the worst ones that were in there.
Do you remember how veterans were received when they came home from the war?
Very well.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, this is kind of a carryover from World War II. We've come home from the war as a veteran of a military campaign was a great honor. Great honor. We looked up to them and we thought that what they'd done was the greatest thing anybody could do, the greatest sacrifice anybody could make. So, and the country responded well too. You know, they gave them all, you know, the government gave them a lot of benefits when they came in. The people that are just getting toward retirement now got through college on account of Oh, you always tend to forget your veterans. I don't think we're alone yet. I think Vietnam's experiencing that now. Mm. I think people are starting to get what their military people sacrificed to.
Mm.
I think Saigon's trying to do a better, like what it was before the war.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't think there's too many role models in Saigon right now. It's Ho Chi Minh City now.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't many role models before the war either. I think the people there were kind of gone back to what they were, which wasn't very good. I think if I lived good then, I'd rather get out in the country and get out of that town anyway.
Hmm. So the Korean War has been kind of termed the Forgotten War. Like, why do you think that war has been not remembered as opposed to the Vietnam or World War II or...
Well, you know, all they did was return the status quo. It didn't result in an all-out flat victory because the political structure decided to pull back before they did that. They didn't want to go in and pound China. They didn't want to. So they slacked off and kind of decelerated a little bit. I'm not sure if this is forgotten. Well, I don't think it was forgotten then. I think it might be forgotten now. Because, you know, by the time we came, 1968 was the year when the drugs hit, or at least here, in this part of the world. And that turned everything upside down as far as people's attitudes. But those kids now are adults. And a lot of those attitudes still linger in people that are not much younger than me. The Timothy Leary drug culture attitude is still there.
Hmm.
Which is a real turner. If you were a drug user in World War II, I mean, you were ostracized. You were an outcast.
Hmm.
How did the polio epidemic affect our area? Remember?
Oh, it hit us hard.
Really?
It hit us hard. A lot of people got disabled. It always disabled a leg. And so even today, they pretty much died off. But they got a couple of vaccines going. First the Salk, which was an injection, and the Sabin. So we all took that stuff and pretty well killed it off. I know a guy lives on legs that has got a leg that's essentially just skin on the leg. A lot of people wound up in iron lungs. They couldn't breathe.
Mm.
It was nasty. Nasty disease.
Mm.
If you ever got it, you wish you'd die from it because living with it is just a kind of hell.
Mm.
It was wonderful to be free of that.
So what did people do for entertainment really in the early 50s? What was the general, I don't know, fun stuff to do?
Well, TV was starting to come on then, you see. And so people pretty much grew the TV set. There wasn't much to look at. Prior to that, prior to TV, everybody listened to radio. And it was funny. They were the most simplistic little things. These shows would come on every week and they'd use the same gag and we'd all sit back and laugh. We think it was so funny when McGee's closet came falling out, or when, you know, these guys had used these lines for 20 years, once a week, and we'd all think it was just wonderful. We were so simplistic in what we required of him. I used to go collecting for newspapers. We had newspapers as a kid. I could go one door to the next collecting. And I could follow the Lone Ranger when it was on. I could catch the whole thing, just going from house to house. They were all aisles in the railway, you know. And they had the same old lines on that too, you know. So.
Hmm.
So entertainment, well, of course we got out and did a lot of things. Well, the guys that I hung around around with, we were all playing whatever sport it was, whatever season it was. We were out playing. Hmm. Pickup games, all of them pickup games, everywhere.
Yeah.
Football, basketball, baseball, whatever. We were all pretty good at all those sports because we played them all the time, just by ourselves.
Huh.
We hunted a lot, fished a lot. You know, we just got out and pretty active. Worked a lot. Hmm. We all worked like crazy in canneries, out in the hop fields, out in the berry fields. Everybody worked.
Hmm.
So what do you think the major differences between the early 50s and the present is? That there was one major difference between the two times.
Well, the outlook of our people.
Yeah.
I fear for our people and for how they look at things.
Hmm.
I fear for the morals. I fear for what they think is right and what they think is wrong. Sometimes I wonder if they think of anything is wrong sometimes.
Hmm.
I don't believe that. One thing about wars, your real leaders show up there. If you ever make a study of people who are leaders, which then the leadership ought to be, you can find a lot more in a war than you can find any place else. Because that's a time of crisis, and when that happens, that's when leaders all pop up to the top.
Hmm.
I kind of have done that. I like good leaders. A real leader is just a jewel in my mind.
I think you were talking about leaders.
Yeah. I don't know why I was talking about leaders. But our political process these days doesn't encourage real leaders to come forward. But that's kind of a reflection of what goes on, say, at the local level. Our military, our school, our schools, our business, firms, none of them really do anything that brings out the real leaders.
Hmm.
They mostly encourage the people that are con artists.
Okay.
Really, they do.
Hmm.
If something threatens the peace of what we have, then they'll go find the real leaders. But as long as they're ruled by trying to get capital gain of one sort or another, they don't like what real leaders have to tell them.
Mm.
they just don't.
Hmm. So is there anything else you want to tell us about what we haven't asked, or any other major thing we're missing, or?
No. I don't even know. I understand this is an assignment, but I don't know how much how much you're interested in, or how much it's going to affect your life as students.
Hmm.
All I know is from this time I have a great appreciation for those people, particularly those in the military. Although you can go to the intelligence agencies and you begin to learn of our people that died in that service, and nobody ever knew that anything had happened. They died for us too. Sometimes they died miserable deaths.
Hmm.
The KGB wasn't always very nice to people that they caught spying on them. Sometimes I don't fully believe it. But yeah, I'm I know that I owe all this cush life that I live to a lot of other people. And I also know that I can't ever pay it back to them. Maybe I can pay it back to somebody else somehow, some way. I don't know. I'm actually trying to do that, but I don't know how successful I am. That's it. I love my country. Through all of its weaknesses, through all the people that we've had, that led us poorly, and there have been a bunch of them. I think the God of heaven has somehow kept us going. Maybe not always on the right track, but there's no place in the world I'd rather live or rather be. Yeah, I'll take that word. Too many people got it.
That's it. Right. Well, thanks a lot.
Well, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I don't know what you can do with all this.